Rolene and Mark, how are you?
It's okay. You know what? It's not the quantity, it's the quality. Oh, what can I say?
I love that. Absolutely love that. All right. Although that said, we've actually got a difficult conversation to have because, and I hate this conversation. I absolutely hate the conversation because it to some extent paints Jews as victims. And my worst thing is to fall into that trap. That said, what we are seeing on the global stage politically is the use of Jews and Israel as political pawns. We've seen it in the UK. We are seeing it in the US. We've seen it in South Africa. And I think of the time that Musi Mamani went to visit Israel, and all of a sudden, Israel became the issue around South African politics. Jews are used over and over again. Give us a context of this last week.
Okay, so let's have a look. Let's zoom out a little bit. And we've been speaking a lot about the United Kingdom, about the Labour Party, anti-Semitism, the whole issue of if I criticize Israel, am I anti-Semitic? And there's a very, very good op-ed. I really appeal to people to try and find it. It's by Dennis Prager that says criticism of Israel is okay, anti-Zionism is not. Anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. And here we are seeing all these lines blurring. We've covered it for quite a while, what's happening in the UK, and now it seems to have caught a fever in the United States. So we're all familiar with the story of the Congresswoman Talib and Omar, who were banned from coming into Israel last week for a variety of reasons, one of them being that their agenda was very much pushing an agenda of BDS, an agenda of delegitimization and hatred, rather than an agenda of, you know, what can we do constructively to sit down with both sides and look for a way forward. Incidentally, they could have been part of a democratic delegation that came just weeks before that did this exact thing. And then this week, because of the whole furore that has come out about it, and if you are on Twitter or social media, you will see that this is where it's playing out in its most vile form. But while we're on the subject, what it is doing, it is uniting Jews, especially young Jews, who are saying, you know, enough is enough, and I now need to start getting, as one person called it, a little bit selfish and focusing on my community, and my community is the Jewish community. Enough is enough. But what we've seen this week is comments made by U.S. President Trump when he said that Jews who vote for the Democratic Party are either disloyal or unknowledgeable. Were his words. And of course, this created a huge outcry, and he tried to backstep his words by saying, what I meant is if you vote Democratic Party, you are disloyal to the state of Israel. Now, there's two issues at play here. The first is the issue of the question of loyalty. And this has come out again and again and again. And, you know, I remember speaking to my father, who told me about his time going to the army in South Africa. There was always this question of where do Jews go in the army? Because if war had to break out between Israel and South Africa, would the Jews go fight for Israel? I mean, you know, a cross-border raid from South Africa to Israel is going to be very difficult, Howard.
I mean, and yeah, there's a real probable discussion, something that's really worth contemplating. Mm.
Exactly, but it's been this discussion that's always present.
Are you Jewish, a Jewish South African or a South African Jew?
South African Jew.
Yeah, we've heard
exactly,
this.
Exactly, and it's now come out with President Trump, and it's also got a lot of American Jews feeling that as America approaches an election year, are there going to be the football between Trump, who wants to be re-elected for the Republican Party, or is he going to be used because most Jews vote Democratic?
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because when I saw his comments, although I don't like to see the word loyal and Jew in the same sentence, I did understand him to be saying loyal to Israel or loyal to the Jewish community. But it was obviously taken very, very seriously by everybody, and I think criticized across the board. What bothered me about all of that is what happened there, which is, and I think is what the media does, especially because they hate Donald Trump, is it shifted the anger and the focus on anti-Semitism towards Donald Trump, and actually not the people that had started that had started the problem in the first place, which was the squad.
Well, this is exactly the question, and another issue has come up. Why is Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, also the leader of the Democratic Party, why is she not tackling anti-Semitism within the Democratic Party? There is this tremendous amount of criticism for President Trump. There's a tremendous amount of criticism for Republican lawmakers who have made these comments and have actually been asked to resign as congressman, but why are these two, and you can add in AOC sometimes for good measure, because she's also jumping on, why are they not sanctioned? What are they scared of? And I think it's two things. I think it's they're scared of maybe being called racist, I'm going to put it out there, and they're also very scared because they know very well who these three congresswomen are talking to. They are talking to millennials. They are engaging millennials on platforms and in language that millennials understand, on issues millennials understand, and that's their future electorate. So there's a reluctancy to deal with that there. You know, I must be honest, you know, I saw it and I did as part of my daily Israel brief. I said, oh no, you didn't, Mr. President.
Yeah, yeah.
And did I, you know, understanding where he's coming from. And I actually said, you know, can we just stop talking about loyalty? Full stop.
The word shouldn't be used. I agree. And that's
exactly.
And that's the issue.
And some guy called me a crazy bee. He said, you know, well, you know what the word is, rhymes with itch. He said, you know, you crazy, you liberal leftist,
oh my gosh, are you a liberal leftist?
Apparently I am now.
Well, that's also the incredible thing, is that you can't have an opinion with any nuance without being labeled. So to a huge amount of people, you are considered a right-wing fanatic. But the minute that you voice a view that isn't comfortable for the person hearing it, you're a liberal leftist. Yeah.
I mean, I've been called many things, Howard, including a closet Muslim and occupier Barbie. So...
But that's what's so incredible is that there's no nuance and there's no space to actually have a reasonable debate around this because it is so emotive.
And this is very worrying. But what is quite interesting to see is that it seems to be galvanizing young Jews. I see it a lot on Twitter. I see it a lot in the UK. And now I'm starting to see it in the United States where they're saying, you know what, enough is enough. You will not question my loyalty about anything. I absolutely support Israel's right to exist. You're not going to question that. Mm. And I'm actually going to start standing up for my community, which I think is a very, very positive side effect of all of this. But it is worrying. And, you know, you mentioned Musi Maimane and the politicizing of his trip to Israel. And I think any country, and especially South Africa with South Africa's past, who wants to play a meaningful role in looking for solutions in this region, has to come and understand both sides. It has to see both sides, warts and all. And, you know, I'm not saying that Israel is above reproach. We have, you know, we have committed our fair shares of wrongs, but we also have given, our fair share of concession, which hasn't been returned. But the only way to understand it is to understand both sides. Having said that, we can't become your convenient pawn in your battles for re-election. And on Wednesday, President Rivlin actually had to step in and he contacted Speaker Pelosi and he said, you know, Israel has to be above politics. The state of Israel is above politics. And he said, he reminded in his very elegant, classy Reuven Rivlin way that the relationship between the United States is not bipartisan. It is he says it's a national commitment, and he went back to quoting the late President John Kennedy, who spoke about exactly that it's a national commitment. You know, it's based on shared values. In fact, his exact words were, "Friendship with Israel is not a partisan matter. It is a national commitment." And he said he's happy to, you know, to have these discussions, and it's okay for friends to criticize friends. But when it comes to domestic politics, we have to be kept out of the fray.
Yeah, but that is absolutely right. We should be able to have these conversations. We should be able to have them without fear. And I seriously believe that starts in our homes and in our work environments and in these conversations on radio. We have to be able to express a view without being shut down and labeled because somebody doesn't like your view. It's, you know, we are multi-layered people who have different insights. And if we could just listen to it, I think that is very, very much a part of it. And I think the, what social media has done, and unfortunately what Twitter's done because of its, even its limited characters that you could use, is it's trying to reduce, everything down to a couple of sentence bite size. And that's meant to sum up everything. It can't. The question is, how do we get that thought across that Jews should not be used as political footballs in many of these countries and all of them that I've listed? How do we do that?
I think it first starts with having a conversation. There has to be a willingness to have a conversation to hear the other side. You know, we are always seen as the other. And now this being looked at as the other is entering a very, very dangerous sphere, and that is politics.
Yeah.
And also, can we get rid of this left-wing, right? I hate wings.
I don't even understand it. To be perfectly honest, and I don't say that lightly, I genuinely don't understand it because the further left you go, the more you meet the right.
I like that.
None of that makes any sense. It's true. It's a circle. Rolene, when you you go to the extreme right and you go to the extreme left, and that's exactly where they meet.
That is wise words for this weekend, Howard. I'm going to sit and contemplate that. I like that. I mean, it's you know, it was just the same as the issue a couple of weeks ago over 12 kids and their ukuleles. It became such a trigger for people, you know. You know, and I thought, what is the trigger here? Is it that there's two groups coming together to try and understand each other? Is that a trigger? Or is it ukuleles? I don't know.
Either way, this is where we have to leave it. Rolene Marks, thank you as always for a very, very interesting conversation. I'd love your thoughts on that. 34519 or 0618951019. Rolene, have a Shabbat Shalom, a peaceful weekend, and we will catch you in next week. Before we go to the news headlines and the news, I think we need to wrap up Louis Coppers, a sports question. Don't we, Zanati? Thanks for not reminding me.
You almost got into trouble there.
No, not one negative SMS about it because they knew they had the confidence to know, Zanati, that I'll come back to it because I will. Who was the first men's player to win 5 straight Wimbledon tennis titles? Taking a look at some of your answers. Michael C. says it was Bjorn Borg. Colin S. says Bjorn Borg. So does Lenzel Pencil. Indeed, that's the answer. It is Bjorn Borg. Time is 8:01. Your news is slightly late. Zanati apologizes.